You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, where we're racing at Beverley, Haydock and Brighton in the afternoon, Kempton, Hamilton and Fairy House in the evening. And you'll hear it all live from 1:50pm with Gareth Topham, James Millman and Paddy Aspel in the studio. But ahead of all that, my name is Sam Norris, and joining me on Wednesday's podcast to take a look at some of the racing from Haydock is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you today, Craig?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Sam. Looking forward to the midweek action at Haydock.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly decent card for a Wednesday midweek fair. Pretty decent stuff from Haydock.
It is. It's a real good card. I think I'll definitely be heading there on Wednesday with a lot to look forward to on that card.
Certainly is. We'll just take a look at some of the racing news then, as we always do. The Epsom Classics are over now, so we can look ahead to Royal Ascot. And we've got a bit of news regarding that. Dermot Weld confirming that Free Eagle is going to run in the Prince of Wales. We've installed him as the 3-1 favourite for that, with the Grey Gatsby at 7-1, 8-1 for the Kentucky Derby winner last year, California Chrome, and 10s bar those. Got to have every chance this Free Eagle, Craig.
Yeah, definitely, but this is shaping up to be a real good renewal of this race this year. But Free Eagle's an exciting type. He's having his first start, which will be for 242 days. We'll last seen him at Ascot in heavy ground in the Champion Stakes. If he's back to his best, he's going to take all the beating. But the opposition, there's going to be strong opposition against the likes of Eagle Top, is likely to come on for his run in the Brigadier Gerard Stakes at Sandown. So it'll be no pushover for him, but it's great to see him confirmed in the lineup for the Prince of Wales.
Anything else you're really looking forward to for the Royal Ascot meeting, Craig?
I haven't got an awful lot on the shortlist. I haven't done an awful lot of work on it, to be honest, Sam. The one horse I'm looking forward to is Eastern Angel of Michael Dodds, that won the Hill Reneedla at Beverley. I think that'll go very well in the Queen Mary. I think it could be underestimated as well, coming from the Michael Dodds yard, because there will be some powerful new market yards represented, and there could be some value there. That is one I'm looking forward to in the Queen Mary. Mr. Darren Owen will be there with his top hat on next week.
What a sight that'll be.
It should be a cracking meeting. He's just come in to deliver his morning suit. So keep an eye out for the Wizard at Ascot next week.
Absolutely, yeah. It should be a fantastic week of racing. Just away from Ascot then, we'll touch on some news that's broke this morning, actually, even after the Racing Post was published yesterday. It's been coming for a while, but Newcastle confirming this morning that they'll be running on the all-weather from 2016. Interesting to get your thoughts on this, Craig. There's been a need for an all-weather track in the north for quite a while, but it's what it means for the Northumberland Plate, which will now be run on the all-weather, and possibly having to move the Fighting Fifth to Doncaster temporarily. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good. I mean, I don't know. Has the Northumberland Plate changed? Because when the idea of the all weather first came out, they were going to keep the Northumberland Plate and run it on the hurdles track.
It's going to be run on the all weather. They've confirmed it's going to be run on the all weather.
So they've had a change of stance there then.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a shame. I would have liked to have seen the Northumberland Plate, run on the turf, because that was the big race of the year, which is coming up in a couple of weeks' time. But that's a slight disappointment, I think, to lose such a race with a history of the Northumberland Plate and now be run on the all-weather surface that is going to be laid. But for the rest of it, I think we'll get a core group of horses there, which should be good. I'll definitely be a regular attender in the winter months, because you hopefully get the same horses and you'll get a good idea of the form working out. So, the big days at Newcastle are the Northumberland Plate. You've got Ladies' Day as well. and have another big... That is, you know, the 3 days of reliance. So I don't see the crowds dropping as a result of the change on those big days. And the quality of the race, and well, you know, trainers at least will know what surface they're bringing the horses to race on. You know, they're not going to be any guesswork with the ground. And, you know, if it is a good all-weather surface, then I see no reason why the Newmarket trainers won't come up and still support it. You know, if we'll get some decent maidens in the winter months. I see it as a positive, personally. Mm, yeah. That's only my view. I'm probably being a little bit biased with my views, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no question that the Northern trainers have needed a sort of all-weather consistent surface as opposed to having to send horses down to your Kempton, Wolverhampton, Lingfield, which is just a bit too far, really. It's not feasible.
Definitely, Sam. And, you know, the alternative that they looked at in the North was Catterick. Mm. Now, Catterick may still happen, but think of the Scottish trainers. You know, your likes of your Jim Goldies, Linda Perrott. You know, they could run horses on the all-weather surfaces, and they've got some distance to travel, where Newcastle caters for the Yorkshire trainers in Midlam and Malton. They don't have too far to come, and it also brings into play the Scottish trainers as well. So I think it's an excellent location in the north. Newcastle definitely the place to be, rather than Catterick, I think. So let's hope it works well, and I believe it's going to only be the mile straight course. It'll be floodlit. Yeah. So if they do race evenings in the winter, then it'll only be races obviously up to a mile. But when they get to autumn into winter, I believe that they can race earlier and have the races beyond a mile in the daylight on the round track, okay, and then switch the floodlights on as the
straight mile.
As the evening wears on for the straight mile.
Okay, yeah, very interesting. Certainly one that's going to split opinion. Already has split opinion. Just having a quick look on Twitter just before we started recording this. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. One more thing we must touch on, of course, before we move ahead to Wednesday's racing. A phenomenal story, really, and regarding Brian Toomey coming back into the saddle. Listeners of William Hill Racing Radio will have heard Brian before. Just quite an incredible comeback, really, Craig.
Tremendous news. Really is heartwarming news that broke yesterday. That Brian Toomey's got his license back. Obviously, seen Brian in his early days when he was recovering from his injury, and he came in here, and the improvement we seen him in, you know, 6 months was tremendous. He really has worked hard at getting back to where he wants to be, and looking at the interview on the telly, I haven't listened to it yet, but just seen him out, and I haven't seen him for a couple of months. He looks like he's done ever so well again, even from, you know, just a couple of months on. So he continues to improve, and it's terrific news. He's been riding out for some time now, and he's the good thing is that he's had the thumbs up from the right people, the people that know whether it's safe for him to be returning to the saddle or not, and I see that as a good thing, and let's hope that he gets plenty of support from trainers and owners, and he can make a living at the game he loves. You know, he's terrific character, very, very positive bloke, tremendous news, and I wish Brian the very best of luck with his comeback.
Yeah, absolutely. We look forward to seeing Brian back in the saddle very soon. And worth mentioning as well, all the good work that the Injured Jockeys Fund have done for Brian as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this is where they come into their own in circumstances like this. And to get someone that basically was on death's door back in his saddle.
Yeah, I think he medically died for 6 seconds or something like that. So quite incredible.
And then there was a period of time after that when he was in hospital where they didn't know which way he was going to go. But like you say, the improvement in them is incredible. It's a truly amazing story.
Yeah, absolutely remarkable. We wish Brian all the best on his return. We'll move ahead then to take a look at some of Wednesday's action. As I mentioned, it's a pretty good card over at Haydock. All four races on today's podcast coming from Haydock. We'll start with their 3:10. This one is a mile handicap. It's a class 3 with 8 of them down to contest it. As all the races are on Wednesday from Haydock, Craig, pretty competitive stuff here.
Yeah, it is. Sam, I think a real interesting race to get us underway. The horse I like in it is Purple Rock for Charles Hills. I thought he shaped really well on his comeback run at Sandown in April in the Esher Cup, a race that has worked out particularly well. The winner went on to win off a higher mark at Haydock next time. Mr. Universe went on to win an Ascot handicap and has since placed in enlisted company. And Purple Rock was caught somewhere back in that race, and under Cam Hardy was doing all his best work in the latter stages of the race. As a result of that, I'll be honest, I thought he was a real good thing at Salisbury next time. Mm. But at that period of time, the Charles Hills horses still weren't firing on all cylinders. But since then, we've seen the yard back amongst the winners. They're in good form at present. And Purple Rock, I think, is a very well-handicapped offer off his current mark of 84.
OK, Purple Rock then in that Haydock 310 for Craig. We'll move to the next race on their card then, the 340. This one is another mile handicap. Nine of them down to contest this Class 3. And again, a couple of interesting sorts here.
Yeah, the two horses I like are the horses at the foot of the weight here. Westwood Ho, a last-time out winner at York for Tony Coyle, and Express Himself for Ed McMahon, who I seen at Pontefract on his return. He wasn't fit that day. He was keen. He was fresh. He was staying on again from a long way back in the race. And I thought he would have done much better on his second start back at Newmarket when he finished third last time. He remains of interest from his current mark, Sam, but the major concern with him is that Ed McMahon's gone a couple of months without a winner. He hasn't had a lot of runners, but just a slight concern. I don't think the yard are firing on all cylinders at the moment. So that leaves the door open for Westwood Ho for me, who was a really good winner of an apprentice race at York just 11 days ago. Did it well from the front, was value for more. I don't think the £5 rise will stop him. Ben Curtis comes in for Kane Wood, who rode him really well in that apprentice race at York, and he has a nice draw in stall too. So I'm going to go with Westwood Ho here in the 340.
Okay, Westwood Ho then, Westwood Ho, for Craig. We'll move then to the 410. This one is another handicap, a mile and six to trip this time. Eight of them lining up for it, and a couple of well-respected operations represented here as well, Craig.
Yeah, a lot of potential improvers here stepping up and trip to a mile six, Sam. I think that is the key. And, you know, you look at the horse's form, and there's not a lot really stands out on recent form. So we're having to try and build in here what horse is going to improve the most for the extra distance. And I think there's a standout on pedigree here. Horse number five, trained by Mark Johnson, Bizarro. This is a gelding by Raven's Pass, Sam. But he's also a half-brother to two useful staying types in Forever Now and Shantaram. Both horses improved as they stepped up in trip. And I think there's every reason to believe that Bizarro will definitely improve. Now he gets to tackle a mile in six. He's well handicapped off a mark of 76. And, you know, I think there's an awful lot more to come from him. Didn't run too badly at Chester last time. Again, was basically just staying on at one pace. I think the extra distance will be very much in his favour. Now he gets to tackle a staying distance.
Okay, Bizarro in that one for Craig. Then we'll move to the final race on Haydock's card on Wednesday, coming up at 5:10. This one's a handicap over the extended 1 mile and 3 furlong trip. Again, we've got the dead eight here, Craig. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, not a lot of progressive horses in this one. The 2 4-year-olds, Satellite and Tamisha, are likely to prove hard to beat. But I think the ground may be on the quick side for Satellite. He's by Dane Hill Dancer, and he just likes a little bit give underfoot. He got warm and probably blew his chance before the race even got underway on his return at York. He wasn't beaten all that far behind Masurb, but I just think he would be a better horse with a little more give underfoot. So the filly Tamisha could go well here. Only had the 2 starts as a 3-year-old. Won a Salisbury maiden by a wide margin. That race didn't work out particularly well, but what was interesting is that she was pitched into a listed race on just a second start and finished 6th, only beaten 5.5 lengths behind Hidden Gold. And she travelled well for a large majority of that race before, you know, she wasn't quite good enough to go with the principals in the closing stages. Back in handicap company of a mark of 90, I think she could be worth chancing on the return from a break of 223 days.
Okay, fair enough then. Tamsha getting the pick in that 5:10 at Haydock. Futures reminders, please, then, of your best bets on the card at Haydock on Wednesday.
Purple Rock, I think, is definitely the best bet of the four in the 3:10. Westwood Ho in the 3:40 for Tony Coyle. Bizarro in the 4:10. And finally, Tamsha in the 5:10 at Haydock.
Okay, excellent stuff. There we are, then, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth ahead of Wednesday's action at Haydock. And you'll hear every race live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gareth Topham, James Millman and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Not only have we got Haydock, we've got Beverley and Brighton in the afternoon as well, with Kempton, Hamilton and Fairy House in the evening. So do join us from 1:50 p.m. for all of that. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, Craig, and enjoy Haydock on Wednesday.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.